start reading in the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thy face, and I will proclaim the name of Jehovah before thee. And then in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, Isaiah 7 and verse 14, therefore will the Lord himself give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and call his name Emmanuel. Chapter 9 of the same prophet, verse 6, chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with judgment and with righteousness from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of Jehovah of hosts will perform this. And Luke 24 from verse 27. And having begun from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from them. And they said to one another, was not our heart burning in us as he spoke to us on the way, and as he opened the scriptures to us? We have been engaged today with the person of the Lord Jesus. Started this morning having impressions about him and what he has done for us, the preciousness of his sacrifice, and the perfection of his person. And we have been speaking of him in the reading on the same line, being impressed with his glory as well. And I refer to these scriptures because they speak of the way in which God's plan was intending to present the Lord to us. I think that any person that considers things can see that the world is going in the wrong direction. And that men are trying their best to forget about God and not to consider the Lord Jesus himself. But if in their secret, in our secret, we look unto ourselves, we find that we are sinners. And we find that we have been set in a beautiful creation, and that life and affections and love have been embedded in our hearts. This is all God's creation, God's doing. And we have spoiled it all on account of disobedience. And if we carefully look at it, we understand that God could judge everything in a moment. He could have judged everything at the time in which the Lord Jesus had to bear a condemnation, unrighteous condemnation. They accused him of things that he had never done. They accused him of what the truth was, that he was God himself. And God could have judged everything at that moment. But the goodness of God comes out. And it's nice to start with this impression that was given to Moses. If you consider the task that Moses had, it's quite considerable. He had to do to work with the people in order that they may come to the blessing that God had in view for them. And to start with him, God chose to show him his goodness, and he made it pass in front of him. I often wondered reading this passage what Moses really saw. He says here that I will make all my goodness pass before thy face. Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried to think of all the goodness of God passing before you? Passing expressed in a way we can't understand how this was expressed here. It doesn't enlighten us. But God had in view to give the gracious appeal to his creature in order that what had gone wrong might be set right. Mm-hmm. We know what the history was. The history goes that the people couldn't really perform what God expected from them. And this is our history, you know. Mm-hmm. Perhaps when we are younger, we don't like to accept it very much. But when you become older, you realize how many things have gone wrong in your life. Mm-hmm. How much time you have wasted. Mm-hmm. This is my personal experience I'm talking of. And therefore, you really need to rely on God's goodness. It starts from the beginning and it brings you to the end. But it had to be expressed in a perfect way. And what Moses saw here was great, but wasn't the complete thing. It had to wait for the Lord Jesus to come in. The Lord came in power, and yet that power didn't consume the creature. It was a power that was expressed in grace. And God started in grace here with Moses. He says, I'll proclaim the name of Jehovah before thee. The name proclaimed, that name that wasn't revealed at the beginning was proclaimed before Moses in order that he might set forth in his task having an impression of what came from God to all these people. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the history of Israel, you could say. What has it got to do with us? Well, it's set there as a type, it's set there to instruct us. But if we go further on in the prophet Isaiah, what is announced there has really to do with us, with each one of us. The prophecy was given to Isaiah for the people, but that prophecy is there for us to be read and to understand that it has been performed. I often remark how powerful this prophecy is, and I think that if you read it, you can see it for yourself. In fact, he's a very interesting prophet because he speaks of the Lord in a wonderful way. Mm-hmm. And here, the actual birth of the Lord is announced years and years before. Mm-hmm. And it has taken place exactly as it was announced. Mm-hmm. This is a confirmation to all those who want to deny the existence of God, or the reality of Scripture. Proof is there. The word was given, mm-hmm. and it was accomplished. Mm-hmm. We haven't got to wait for the future, for the accomplishment of the future prophecy. Mm-hmm. This is prophecy that has already been accomplished. Mm-hmm. It's there in the Lord Jesus. Emmanuel, has been born. And Immanuel means God with us. And this is the message that God tried to give to Moses, pass his goodness before him, so that that goodness may be transferred or represented to the people as well. And this goodness of God has been shown in the Lord Jesus. And his coming here has been for our justification, for our salvation, and to give us life. Where the condemnation of death had been introduced, life has been introduced for us. What a wonderful message. What a blessed prophecy there. And the Lord's introduction has been given to us. And then his beautiful characters that are contained in the second passage we read in Isaiah. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, think for a moment what this earth would be if the Lord, the government was in the hands of the Lord. Absolutely perfect. No problems, no difficulties, and yet all that is happening is building up to what will be finally removed and judged. And the government will be indeed in the Lord's, on the Lord's shoulder and in his hands. And then it will be a time of blessing. But in the meantime, we can look unto the government of the Lord Jesus in a personal way on our hearts. We have to make way for his claims. His claims on us as a Savior, and his claims on us as Lord. He could say, I've come to save you. I shed my blood for that. That is a message that the Lord has passed on to us through the disciples. But he could also remind us that he's here to be our Lord. He says to his disciples, he called me teacher, and he do well because I am. And the Lord is the same. He's Lord to our hearts. He can really draw us to himself. All these features called wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. I cannot say too much about each of these features, but I recommend it to you to read this verse again on your own and to consider each one of these characters related to our Lord Jesus. You know, Counselor, the one that could really introduce his counsel all along. He was the Creator. Hebrews remembers, we have said it already today, Hebrews reminds us that he was Creator, and yet he didn't refrain from taking a body and coming here and being available, and available to the point of going on the cross for myself and for yourself. And on that cross, he accepted God's judgment. On what was that judgment? On what I had done, what I do, and what you had done. And yet, it was on the Lord that we have already said in the reading, he didn't do anything that was wrong. Everything that he did was perfect, and he was completely without sin. And yet, the judgment was upon him in view of saving you and of bringing you into peace and into life. Prince of Peace, Father of Eternity. Thoughts that are beyond the reach of our mind, that we cannot always understand, but they are there to impress us with what is really the feature of our blessed Lord. And years and years, perhaps, the preaching has been going on, and perhaps you have listened to it many times, but you know this is a fresh appeal to come to Him. You just come as you are, as we often repeat, because we cannot bring anything of our own. We cannot even justify one of our actions, because God would see to that, that we understand that there is no justification apart from the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. It has been put on Himself, and He has gone there for us. So the kingdom shall be upon His shoulder, and His government, and of the increase of His government and of peace there shall be no end. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can imagine anything like that if we look to the world now. When people continually repeat peace, peace goes even further away. But now, when the Lord will be the governor, the one upon everybody, upon everything, then there will be no end of peace. What blessed feeling can be to our hearts? Do you remember what the Lord said to His disciples when He appeared to them? He said, "Peace be unto you." Mm-hmm. Now, I've often thought of that. It's a very gracious touch of the Lord. I mean, the conditions around were in a way similar to what we experience now. The disciples were even afraid because the Lord had just been condemned and He had died. They hadn't seen Him risen yet. And so they thought they were without that blessed person who had been so gracious and so helpful to them. And so they were in very far from peace in their hearts. And the Lord comes in and says, "Peace be unto you." And yet the conditions around were not like that. And that peace can be for your heart now, if you look unto Him as the wonderful, the Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Father of Eternity. It's so blessed to look unto these words. It's a very well-known passage, but it's good to look into it and take account of the way in which God expresses His plans in the Lord Jesus Himself. And then it says that it will be upheld with judgment and righteousness from henceforth even forever. This is the setting that is in view. This is the setting that the Lord has in mind. Now, we have spoken in this reading of quite a difficult point, that is, that how do we manage to be like our Lord who was without sin? Is a very difficult thing to realize, but the righteousness of the Lord comes in all that He has done. And that blessed righteousness can cover ourselves if we believe on Him. And in that way, our exercise, our desire can be helped through if we look unto Him. So look unto the Lord to receive strength in view of being like Him. I recommend it to each one of us, particularly to the young ones. Look unto your Lord, and you can be drawn to Him and be like Him in that way. Now to go to the last passage, is I just wanted to refer to the way in which the Lord made Himself known to them. He didn't say to them, "It's me." But He started. He says here that He started, but began from Moses and from all the prophets. Now, this is really interesting because it shows how all that God had in view, presented in the scriptures, was exactly realized in the person of the Lord Jesus Himself. He was the first and unique person who could really perform all that. each single word of the scripture could be really realized in him, performed in him. And he did it. And he explained it, interpreted to them in all the scriptures. Oh, how I would have liked to be there. And to hear from the Lord himself the actual interpretation. But you know, there is still a possibility for us with the help of the Holy Spirit. We haven't got the Lord physically here, but we have the Holy Spirit, and we can look unto him for this interpretation of the scriptures. And then he opened their eyes and they recognized him. Now, all these features that have been presented in the Lord Jesus need that our eyes may be opened. We won't recognize these features with natural eyes, you know. Think of what happened at the cross. What did they say? Crucify him. What was the option? The Lord Jesus or Barabbas? Who did they choose? Barabbas. Their eyes were closed. They needed to be opened, but they were closed. And they just refused all that was in that holy person. But when the eyes are open, we can recognize him. Not only as our Savior, as I said before, but as the precious Lord that has all these features of glory upon him. And then they say, didn't our heart burn in us? In us, it's something that can become real. We are not being emotional about it. We are just wanting to say that what is in Scripture can be experienced in our hearts just now. We don't need to wait to be in heaven. We can experience it now. And that is through the help of the Holy Spirit. The gospel meets you when you are a sinner without hope and brings you to the point of being a believer with the Holy Spirit. You have to take account of that. It's not only to stop at the saving power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus in the gospel, but we have to carry on until we get to the benefit of the service of the Holy Spirit for us. So may we be encouraged, because the message is a message of salvation. The Lord, what the Lord Jesus did on the cross is there for us to be looked and considered and believed. But what the Lord can do in our hearts is there for us now. And he can work in our hearts that we may be brought in the full benefit of these prophecies that have been there. And the full benefit of the features of glory that are upon his person. May we be really affected by his person as we have been today. We have to thank the Lord for what we have been considering together. It's not often that we can speak and consider and meditate of his person in such a way, you know. Is a precious truth that have come to our hearts. We want to learn and appreciate them for ourselves and grow in them, that we may receive the benefit of the word of God. He said that the word has been sent for a purpose, and that purpose will be reached. May it be reached in each one of our hearts tonight, for his name's sake. Amen.